Again, we want to extend a very hearty welcome to all of our visitors. We're glad that you've come our way. Hope and pray that all that we do and all that we say is in keeping with God's will. And because of that, you're edified, you're built up in the faith, and cause you to want to be more devoted each and every day of your life to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His Father. In Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 20, Solomon uses the commandments of the father, the laws of the mother, as a parallel for the law of God. He starts by saying, "My son, keep your father's command. Do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. And when you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." There are three basic points that we want to touch on, and then I'm going to give you a bonus one at the end. As we look at this particular text, we want to emphasize a few things. First of all, there is the command to keep God's Word. Number two, there is instruction for us on how we keep God's Word. And then number three, there is the explanation to the question, why do we keep God's Word? As God's people, we need to possess the mindset of loving God's laws and statutes, keeping His commandments. If you turn back in your Bible just a little bit to the book of Psalm 19, beginning in verse 97 and reading through verse 104, the psalmist here gives us such great and valuable lessons about keeping God's laws, the attitude and approach that we ought to have. The psalmist says in verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commands, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever before me. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And through your precepts I get understanding, and therefore I hate every false way." When you look at this particular text, we notice so many things about keeping God's commandments and His precepts and His testimonies. And how, because of His precepts, all of our steps are maintained and we are able to keep them in the right way. And how the false ideas and concepts of the world, because we have the judgments of God that have not departed our minds, we're kept safely. And because of God's precepts and where our understanding of God's law, He says, "I hate every false way." You know, I've had occasion, and maybe you have too at times, of talking to somebody, and when they learn that you are a member of the Church of Christ, one of the first things that they think about and have actually said to me before, "Oh, y'all are the people, y'all are just about keeping commandments, right? You're commandment keepers." And one of the first things that pops to my mind is, I want to tell them, no, it's not just about keeping God's commandments. That's an integral part of it. But it's not just about keeping God's commandments. The second thing I want to say is, well, thank you. And the reason I want to say that is because throughout the Scriptures, we are commanded, we are told to keep God's commandments, to keep His laws. In fact, we could go so far as to say that the Bible is absolutely filled with, it's replete with passages that tell us that obedience to God's laws is essential to us. We've just read two great passages that talk about the keeping of God's commandments and His laws, and about His precepts, and about how we are to meditate upon those things all the days of our life, day and night. We have more than that. That's just really just a sampling here that we'll look at in this first point. In Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 16, Moses wrote these powerful words. This day the Lord your God has commanded you to do these statutes and judgments. And therefore you shall keep and do them with all your heart, with all your soul. Notice here that it starts out by saying, this day the Lord your God has commanded you to keep certain statutes and judgments that He had laid out for His people. And not just keep those things, notice what He then says, keep them with all of our heart and with all of our soul. It sounds a lot like the concept, doesn't it, of loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're to put our heart and soul into loving the commandments of God. In Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 23, through this great prophet Jeremiah, God told the people, but this thing I command them, say, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have, listen to this word, commanded you, that it may be well with you. Let's back up and look at this particular verse real quickly here. It'd be real easy just to go over it and say, well, that's pretty good, and yes, it says command, obey, and all this thing, but it starts out by saying, this thing I commanded them. What was the commandment? The commandment itself was, in fact, to keep God's commandments, to obey His voice. And I will be your God. Let's stop there for just a moment. Has there ever been a time in the history of man, from the days of Adam and Eve until this present day that we live in which God has not had commandments for man to keep? Absolutely not. Go back to the days of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and when you stop and think about it, they basically had two commandments from God. And I'm kind of probably simplifying things a little bit, but basically they had two commandments. One of them was to tend to the garden, to take care of the Garden of Eden. What was the other one? The other one was real simple. There is a tree in the midst or the middle of this garden in which you are not to touch it, you're not to partake of this tree. Because in the day that you do this, you will surely die. And when you stop and think about it, God basically gave them two simple commandments to follow. Now, I'm sure in attention to taking care of the garden, and part of that, God probably says, this is how you do it. This is what I want you to do. After all, this is Adam and Eve, the first people on earth. What do they know about horticulture? But certainly when you look at it, basically two concepts in there. Two simple things. Tend to my garden and don't touch that tree, don't partake of that tree. Through the days of the fathers of that day in the patriarchal age, God gave commandments to these men to lead their families by. You come into the Mosaic dispensation. After receiving the law on Mount Sinai, and the people wandered in the wilderness, and the people going into the promised land, and their ups and downs, their failures and their successes there, God always had commandments for them to keep. In fact, over 63, I think is what there were when you counted them all up. Under the Mosaic law, some applied only to the Levitical priest and the priesthood system, but many of the laws applied to all people. God's always had commandments to keep. And here in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23, he says, there's this one thing I want you to do. I commanded him, saying, obey my voice. In other words, listen to my commandments and keep those things. But it always comes with promise, doesn't it? That's what I've always loved. When you look at God's Word and you say, well, you know, God's law and His commandments are so onerous and they're so burdensome and they're just heavy. No, they're not. Every time you look at God's commandments, they're for our good. And when God tells us to do something, there is almost always something that is itinerant to it. There's a promise made that it may be well with you, God tells the people through Jeremiah. And not only that, I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people. Can you think of a better promise than that? Can you think of anything greater than that? Anything that God could have said, if you keep my commandments, if you obey my voice, He could have given you anything better than that? That we belong to God. It's not a big burden. It's not a heavy thing. Oh, God's commandments are just too much to do. That's not at all the case with God, is it? He always blesses us by keeping His commandments, doing His will. Jesus Himself taught of the need to keep God's laws and commandments, didn't He? Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Fundamentally the exact same thing, just one of them in statement form, the other in the question form. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Not everyone's going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do, listen, here's the promise. Those who keep God's commandments, guess what happens? Are going to enjoy the glories of eternity in heaven with the Father and with the Son and with the Spirit. Jesus asked it in question form, didn't He, in Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but not do the things which I say? Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. The apostles would boldly proclaim, we ought to obey God rather than man. We ought to. There's a sense of oughtness. There's a sense of necessity, if you will, in keeping God's commandments, doing His will. So when somebody says, well, y'all, you people are just commandment keepers, it's not just about that, though it is that. That's an integral part of our relationship with God because we realize who the Creator is. We understand what He's done for us. We understand the sacrifice that He made in sending His only begotten Son into this world to die on the cross for us. How can I not have an attitude of, I want to keep the commandments of my Lord? And that will be later on in the lesson. So we won't get there too much into that. But then I want you to notice in our text from the book of Proverbs that Solomon tells us how, or at least tells us what aids us in keeping God's laws. He tells us, in a sense, to bind them continually upon our heart and tie them about our neck. I think Solomon's point is kind of obvious here. It's not hard to understand. Solomon is saying that we must continually keep God's laws in mind. He's talking about the spiritual heart. He's not talking about the thing that beats in your chest that keeps the blood flowing through your veins. He's talking about the spiritual heart, that seat of intellect. And he's saying here to take those things and continually bind them as part of your mind, as part of your thought process, as part of your desire to be what God would have you be. And then he says we must continually study those things, tie them about our neck, keep them in plain view all the time. Folks, God's laws need to be an adornment to the Christian. It ought to be that which stands out in our lives. People ought to be able to say, you know what? You can tell that that person is serious about Christianity. You can tell that person is a Christian because of how he views and loves God's laws. I'm going to suggest to you that God's laws, God's statutes, His judgments, His commandments will always be a source of strength to the faithful child of God. We'll not look upon God's laws as being something hard to bear, but rather we're going to look at them as a source of strength. Because in those laws, in those commandments, in those judgments, in those precepts and statutes, we learn from the Creator of man what is best for man. And for this reason, God's Word must always be entered into with the idea of it being the center point, the focal point, if you will, of our lives. We looked at Deuteronomy chapter 26 just a moment ago. We learned there about obeying God's laws and the value in that, that we're going to be God's people. He's going to be our God. But back up about 20 chapters earlier to Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, we read these powerful words. And these words which I command you shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. In other words, much like what we've already been talking about, much like what Solomon wrote over here in Proverbs chapter 6, notice what he says here. The same idea, bind God's laws continually upon our heart, always have them in front of us, always be of a mindset that says God's laws are important. His commandments are necessary in our lives. Keep them always before us. Number three point, God's commandments provide direction. God's commandments provide protection. And they provide instruction in life. Direction, protection, and instruction. Solomon says that when we roam, that's the New King James rendering of this, but when we travel life's road, God's Word will be that which leads us. It gives the idea here of direction for us. And he said, notice, that His commandment is a lamp and the law is light. Jeremiah chapter 10. Go back to Jeremiah again. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. We need, as God's creation, the direction that God can give us. Oh, we know how to walk from point A to point B. We can get in our cars if we so desire. Don't know why you'd want to. You'd have to drive I-35, mate, probably. We could go to Dallas. Well, that's not what he's talking about. It's not a matter of just directing our actual steps. I can direct my physical steps down these steps and down the aisle. He's talking about life, and he's talking about the direction we take our life in relationship to God. It's not in my ability in and of myself, by myself, to know how to find God. He's given me the direction, hasn't he? He's given me His Word so that I can know how to live my life, how to conduct myself. And when you look at this particular point here that Solomon wrote about, Psalm 119:105 comes to mind, doesn't it? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word illuminates our spiritual life. God's word takes us and shows us how to live a way that pleases Him. And when you stop and think about it, who else do I need to be pleasing to? I need to be pleasing to my God, because ultimately it is God who created me and knows what's best for me. The faithful child of God, and I emphasize that word, those expressions, faithful child of God, will not go where God's word does not lead. Now, we can become wayward, and we do that sometimes. We stray from God's word sometimes, and we do things that, in a way, we travel down the path that God's word hasn't taken us. But when we're faithful to God, guess what? We're going to go in the way that God said to go. Solomon tells us that God's word will keep you. Simple, isn't it? God's word will do that. It's not a situation where he says, well, it might happen. It could happen. Maybe God's word possibly will. No, it will keep us. God's word shall keep you. It connotes the idea here of protection. Yes, it gives us direction. God's commandments tells us how to live, which way to go, but it also protects us. In fact, in the Hebrew, and as I mentioned this morning, if you were in class, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I can sure have some good books that help me. But in the Hebrew, it carries the idea of being hedged about by thorns so as to protect us from our adversary. When you stop and think about that, some of the gardens of those days were actually surrounded by really dense, thorny bushes, because they were designed to protect. When you got in the containment, if you will, of that garden, you had those thistles and those thorns that protected you from somebody coming in. It protects us from our adversary. There is that sense of protection that God's Word gives us. God's Word, when we apply it properly, guards us from sin that would destroy us eternally. Sin that will destroy the soul. What a comfort. What peace we have in knowing that God's protection is as close as this book right here. It's that close. Because in this book, we learn about what God instructs us to do. That brings us to our next thought. Yes, it provides protection, direction, protection, but also instruction. Solomon says that God's word speaks or talks to the true listener. God doesn't speak to us in any other way. God's not going to make some special case for me and come down and say, oh, it's okay, look, you don't seem to understand this book that I've given you, even though it's pretty simple. So let me give you some more instruction here and help you out here. No, God's given me a book that can be understood. He's not the author of confusion, but of peace. And this book instructs me on how to live my life, how to conduct myself. This instruction on how to live in such a way that on that marvelous day, I can hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of your Lord. Enter in. But now, for that bonus point I told you I was going to give you. Yes, we are instructed to keep God's commandments. So if somebody says you're just a commandment keeper, not just, but thanks anyway. But how about this? Above all, as Christians, and you stop and think about it, not just as Christians, everybody ought to be grateful to God and should want to do this. We should want to keep God's commandments and emphasize and underline that word want in that statement. We should want to keep God's commandments. John 14, verse 15, it tells us there that the evidence of our love for our Lord is found in wanting to keep His commandments. Jesus plainly states there, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Do I really love my Lord? Do I really appreciate what He's done for me? Do I love Him because He left the glories of heaven, Philippians chapter 2. He came to this earth and He died for my sins. And you read about what Jesus went through and the mockery of the trials that He faced and how He was scourged, how He was spit upon, how He was mocked, and how He was nailed to the cross for me. Do I love Him? But I want you to stop and think about it. How simple it really is that He lays it out for us. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Do I love Him enough to keep His commandments? As God's redeemed and sanctified in Christ, that's what the Christian is, that's what the church is, the redeemed and sanctified in Christ, we should want to show our love to our Lord by keeping His commandments. It ought to be a want to, not a have to. Oh, I have to do this too. No, I ought to be excited that when I study God's Word and I find something in it that says this is what I have to do, I look at it and you know what? I don't have to do it except for God said it because I want to do it because God said it. Jesus tells us that true friendship, genuine friendship, for Him is predicated upon obedience to His commandments. 1 John 14:15 tells us about our love for the Lord and keeping commandments. Now, genuine friendship, John 15:14, just the opposite. Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Oh, there's that word if, isn't there? That's a small word, but boy, I tell you, it's got powerful meaning behind it. After all, having looked at that statement, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you," what did Jesus do to show His love and His friendship for us? Well, He gave His life for us. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6, Paul told Timothy that Jesus gave Himself a ransom for all. He paid the price that I couldn't pay. He paid the price that nobody on the face of this earth could pay but Him. In fact, if you back up to John 15, one verse from John 14 to verse 13, and Jesus told His disciples, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Is that what Jesus did? Yes, He did. You want to talk about love for us? It always amazes me, the love of our Lord that could leave what He left. Absolute pure spirit form. In heaven with God where no sin exists, to come to this earth for me. And not just me, for everyone here. And not just everyone here, the whole world. And He did this because of His love and friendship for us. If Jesus can love us, if He can befriend us with His very life, how can we not show our love and friendship for Him by following, by following His will? Those who keep God's commandments are much, much more than just commandment keepers. They are people who love God and want to worship and serve Him and Him alone. They are people who realize this incredible relationship with their Maker that they can have. Let's be those type of people. If there's anyone here who's never been obedient to the gospel of Christ and the commandment to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, to have your sins washed away, and you know what you need to do today, We plead with you not to put it off for another moment. Don't wait. Come into the fold of God and be that which only Christ can make you, a truly sanctified, washed, redeemed person. Maybe it's the case that you're a child of God and you strayed away from God's Word. You need to come back to Him. Come back to Him on His terms. Come back to Him in a relationship that you once enjoyed. If you're a child of God and maybe you're looking for a church home, we hope and pray that you'll look at us. Consider that we are striving each and every day, though we're far from being perfect here, we are striving each and every day to be what God wants us to be. Nothing less, just what God wants us to be. If you need to respond to the invitation, please, won't you do it as we stand and sing this song.